Thank God. Well, go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4. We've been in a series called Health to All Their Flesh. So turn over to Proverbs 4:20. We've been in a series called Health to All Their Flesh for some time. We're not done yet. Proverbs 4:20. Everybody there? It says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." So this has been our text that we've been on for some time. It says here that his words are full of life and health and healing. It says that his words are life to those that find them, their health to all their flesh. And we've gone through, spent some time here and talked about the fact that God's words are his medicine. It says his words are health, and that word health means medicine. So his words, it doesn't say they're like medicine, it says they are medicine. His words are medicine. So when you're taking his word and all the whole word, every part of it, even the parts that are saying somebody, you know, in the King James, it says somebody begat somebody, and then somebody begat this. That means they had a child, and they had this child. Even it's anointed. It's the inspired word of God. You can get healed just reading the begats. One of my teachers used to say, it's true. There isn't one part of the word that isn't anointed. It's all good. And God will quicken parts of it to you, but we specifically, we need to know that his words are health and life to us, that they actually nourish us, that they're strength to your body. Notice that it says their health, in verse 22, it says, "For their life to those who find them, their health to all their flesh." All their flesh. Another translation says they're healing to your whole body. For every part of your body. For every part of your body. Is there a part of your body that God's word can't touch?
No.
Uh-uh. He's the creator. He made the whole thing, right? Even if you didn't have a certain part, even if you had it removed, do you think God has a few of those lying around somewhere, you know? Not really. I'm, you know, joking, but seriously. He created the body. He's not short. His arm is not short. You think he forgot how to make a body? There's been creative miracles. People had their eardrum, you know, their ears, they didn't have eardrums, started hearing again. Yeah. Eyes, couldn't see, blind, nerve was damaged, optical nerve was dead, crushed, whatever. And people started seeing again. How? Well, power of God. God, how did he create the world? By his word. He spoke it. You think he forgot how to do that? His word's still health to all our flesh now. Today. It'll quicken your body right now. In fact, turn over to Romans 8. We felt when we started Wednesday services, 2012, so almost 5 years ago, we felt like the Lord told us to speak on faith and healing, and until that changes, that's what we're going to do. But it's good to have that constant reminder. You need your faith stirred up. You need to have your faith consistently stirred up, and you need to, if you focus on healing, not exclusively, but, you know, you live in a body. How many of us, you're reminded every day that you live in a body. When you wake up in the morning, your body sometimes doesn't want to get up. You do, but your body doesn't. Well, you live in a body. It's good to take something. Brother Hagin would say to feed a little bit on faith and healing every day. Stay strong. Stay strong in the fact that God wants you well. Stay strong in that you can believe God and that His Word's true, because faith is the same in every area. If your faith is strong, you believe that God's Word is His will, that what He says, He will do. Your faith is strong. You go through the day strong, go through the week strong. If you're stirred up on, if you've been feeding on the fact that God wants you well, that His Word is health, then you're going to be strong physically. When something attacks your body, you're going to realize that, yeah, that's in the world. It's part of the curse, but it doesn't have any power over us. We don't have to accept and go, well, you know, it's just going around. I guess it's my turn to get sick. Well, there's something there. There's germs or viruses or whatever, but it doesn't have to have an effect on our body. God put healing in our body, your immune system, and is an example of this. The power of God, people say, well, I don't believe in healing. Well, I like this example, Keith Maurice's example. He said, well, did you ever scrape your knee when you were learning to ride a bike or when you were little? Did you ever get a cut or scrape your knees? Oh, yeah. Well, show it to me. Well, no, it's healed. It's what? It's healed. Well, I thought we didn't believe in healing. Well, that's different. No, it's not different. Who created the body?
God.
And your body has a measure of His healing power in it. Doctors can't heal you. You understand that? We're not against doctors, but they can cut you up, you know, cut you open, take out whatever needs to be taken out, and sew you up. And now guess what has to happen? Healing. Now you have to be healed. And if your body doesn't take over and starts healing, no doctor on the face of the earth, they can give you drugs and stuff to help your body do its job, but they can't heal you. In fact, if you're in a certain condition where things aren't working right, things that should heal up don't. Right? They can't force that. No man can do that. It's in your body to heal. Who put it there?
God.
And how were you created? By His Word. So that power is still resident today. It's in your body right now. So all healing is, we're going to read this, goes with what we're talking about in Romans. The healing power of God, or divine healing, all that is a greater measure of what is already going on in your body. I'm going to say that again. When you're being healed, when your body is healing, when it's fighting something off, that's the power of God.
Yes.
People say, well, that's just natural. Again, who created the body?
God.
He put that mechanism in the body to be able to heal itself. Mm-hmm. It's the life of God. Who's keeping this whole thing going? It's God. Now, what is divine healing? It's just the power of God. It's just the healing power that you have in you just cranked up a few measures. Well, if you could be healed, let's say you were fighting off a sickness. Let's say it's just, you know, people say, well, you know, cold or something has to run its course. No, it doesn't. It can go faster. It can go like that.
Yeah.
So if your body is getting better, let's say it takes, you know, a week. Well, if you just had a little bit of the power of God amped up a little bit, could it take 3 days? Now, if you cranked it up even more, just get everything right, it could take a day. Well, what if it's cranked up enough to where it just goes like that? That's all it is. It's just happening really fast. When you see an instantaneous manifestation, when Jesus would lay His hands on people or speak to something, which you may get to here, it left immediately in time. Sometimes it says they were healed as they went. Don't get caught up on when it happens. Just, this is what we ought to say. The healing power is working in my body. What's that? It's just the life of God. It's not some woo-woo magical thing. It's not illogical. It's not mystic. All it is if you believe God. I mean, think about it. If you believe the Bible, if you believe Jesus is your Lord, then you have to believe something about Him. You go into Romans 8, right?
Yeah.
We're going to Romans 8, but just look a little bit further down. I'm going to go to Romans 8, 2. But actually, just go to Romans 10. And look what it says. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what do you have to believe to be saved? You have to believe something about Jesus. What does it say you have to believe? That God raised him from the dead. How did that happen? You think, I mean, his body's dead. And like Lazarus was dead?
Yes.
Lazarus was dead and buried and wrapped up, and he walked out of the tomb. How did that happen? Jesus said, Lazarus, come. And what happened? Is that the word of God?
Yes.
And what happened? The power of God hit that guy. And his body came back. His body probably stunk. His body was rotting. I mean, if you either believe the Bible or you don't. If you believe the Bible, then you believe that that happened. Now, if you're a Christian, then you believe what we just said, that you to be saved, it says you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Well, what happened there? Jesus is dead. He didn't just die and stop breathing. He was beat to a pulp. He was shredded.
Yes.
I mean, he was horribly. The Bible said you couldn't recognize him. I mean, he's got probably flesh ripped out of him. You know, he didn't have just a little cut with a little Band-Aid on it. I mean, you see these things that they were using, the whips with the glass and the nails and stuff in them, it's just, I mean, that stuff, it hits you. It doesn't just slap you. It digs in, and when they pull, it rips flesh out. So Jesus' body wasn't like he's just laying there, pristine, dead, but he's all intact. No, Jesus had chunks ripped out of him. He was dead. He's crucified, but he was raised from the dead. The Bible said he had a body of flesh and bone. He came and he appeared to the disciples. But the power of God raised him. Well, that's the very power of God, the same power. When that power comes in contact with your body, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is what causes that healing power is just magnified. So when it hit Lazarus, the guy's dead. You can't get any worse off than that. I mean, people magnify and say, well, I'm sick with this, but you're not dead. He's dead. Not even just dead like 5 minutes ago. He's dead for days. He's dead. Yet when Jesus said, come, what happened? He's healed. Look at Romans 8, verse 2. Romans 8, verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a curse in this earth which is responsible for all sickness and all disease. This is not the way God created the world. God did not create Adam and Eve and put a little sickness and disease in the world. So if you believe the Bible, see, that's why you can't, evolution just doesn't line up. It just, I mean, think, it's not even in the character of God. Think of what evolution says. People just started coming out of other life forms and weren't fully conscious as human. All as they were evolving, there's death everywhere. Do you see how much death there has to be? There's just this, and then it morphs into this and this. It doesn't even line up with the character of God. God doesn't need that. God doesn't need some half-baked process to get the job done. And so then the Bible said Eve was the mother of all living. The Bible says this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it just doesn't, you can't, but it just doesn't line up with Scripture. All living. Well, that means there weren't any living before her. And Adam. She is the mother, go look it up. She's the mother of all living. Mm-hmm. So the power, God created them with the power, with His power. And there wasn't any sickness or disease when He created this earth. Mm-hmm. But when Adam rebelled, when Adam sinned, he bowed his knee to Satan. And the Bible calls the devil the god of this world now. And sickness and disease came into the earth. And there's a curse on the earth. Yep. Well, that's where it's... People say, well, where did all this stuff come from? It's just always been. No, it hasn't. It hasn't always been. That's not the way... The Bible says God created the earth and He created it good. He created all the living creatures good. You know, animals weren't killing each other at that point. That happened after, later. Now, you know, after the flood and everything, people, the animals and people started eating meat and everything. It would change. It wasn't the way God set it up. But no, that came in after the fall. And so we live in a cursed world, but verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." See, there's a cycle, sin and death. Because mankind sinned, we deserve the penalty of death. Death in its all, in its all its forms. Sickness is a form of death. Broken relationships, poverty is death. But we've been redeemed. Skip down to verse 11. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you..." Notice that with what we just said. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you..." The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit of Almighty God that raised Jesus from the dead. "If He dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." How? "Through His Spirit who dwells in you." His Spirit lives in us. If we're Christians, we have the Spirit of God. The Bible says, "Greater is He who lives in you than he who is in the world." We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, and it says, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through..." What? Through His Spirit. His Spirit in us is the power of God. Think about it. Just think about it for a minute. If we have the living Spirit of God on the inside of us, the Spirit of God that created the heavens and the earth, why is it even hard remotely to believe that if you have God Almighty and His Spirit living on the inside of you, affecting your mortal body? He doesn't live in your body. He lives in your spirit, which is in your body. I mean, He's in there. Mm-hmm. His power, His Spirit, coming into contact with your mortal body, it's not hard to believe that any sickness has to dissipate and yield to that power. Is that hard to believe? If you believe that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, the greatest miracle, all the demons in hell trying to keep Him down, the Spirit of God raised Him from the dead. If that power lives on the inside of you, the Bible said that Spirit, He'll give life to your mortal body. So if you believe that Spirit, that same Spirit that quickened Lazarus, who was dead, he's dead. Yet when he came in contact with the Spirit of God, his body revived. Anything, so there was something wrong with his body, right? Because he's died. If he were to have an autopsy done, you know, today, there was something wrong with him. Yeah. that they could diagnose. I guarantee you it has a name that they could have said, well, you know, this failed, his heart failed, whatever, right? So he had damage. Something was wrong with his body. And he's dead as a result. But when the power of God hit him, he came back to life, and evidently whatever was wrong with him is now right. And it just happened just that way. Why? Because of what we're saying right here. The power of God hit his body. And the power of God coming into contact with your body can quicken it, can make it alive, can make it strong. Anything that's damaged, any cell that needs repairing, I mean, if we can do repair work with our limited knowledge in a body, you can correct certain things. You don't think God can do that? You don't think His Spirit can go through and correct whatever needs to be correct, put it back to normal? Can He? I mean, if you believe God, I don't understand. If we believe God and believe just what the Bible said, it's not hard to believe in healing. It's not something way out here. It just should be like, well, duh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The power of God in my body? Well, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. His power with Lazarus, boom, live person. Right? It's not that distant. Let's go ahead and turn to where we were last week. Matthew 8. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 14. Well, we read verse 1 last week too. Well, let's go to verse 14, I think. Maybe we'll go back to 1, but let's go up to 14. Everybody there? It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, so his mother-in-law, lying sick with a fever. So she has a fever. She's sick. Verse 15, he touched her hand. And the fever, what?
Left her.
And she arose and served them. So he comes in, Jesus comes in, and Peter's mother-in-law is lying there and she's sick. Now she's not dead. She's sick. She has fever. I don't know, maybe she has the flu. Maybe she has something else. I don't know. Doesn't say, it just says she has a fever. But he came up, Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left. Just like that. What happened? The power of God's there. And she arose and served them. Now look, verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Didn't say he just bore Peter's mother-in-law's sickness. Didn't say he just bore Lazarus' sickness. They said he bore our sicknesses. He himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. Notice how many were healed. He cast out the spirits with the word and healed how many?
All
who were sick. He healed them all. Go over to verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We talked about that last week. If you didn't hear that, I encourage you to go back and listen. We talked about willing, that Jesus is willing. And he is willing in all cases. You can't find a place in the Bible where he said, it's my will that you stay sick. There isn't one single case like that. Anybody that came to Jesus believing was healed. Just go look at the Word, every place. If they came to him in faith and believing him, they were healed. There's not a single place where it was, quote unquote, his will for them to be sick. That's a man-made doctrine. The Bible doesn't say it. The Bible doesn't teach it. But we talked about him being willing and how important that is, that we come to him and realize that he's willing, because there are hurdles there. But I encourage you to go back and listen to that if you didn't hear it. But here in verse 15, we see again, go back to Peter's mother-in-law. So he touched her hand and the fever left her. She arose and served them. See, this is a place. Why do we need a healthy body? It's not a trick. Not a trick question. Well, I mean, what are we doing here on the earth, first of all? Jesus already came back. He came and died for the sins of everybody. Why are we still here? Because there are still people that need to come into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, let's get out of here and go home. Let's just be done with it. Done with the curse. Done with this place. And let's just go in the presence of God. That's because there are people in the family that need to come into the family. You cannot be the witness you should be. You cannot get around. You cannot do what you need to do if you're sick. So God said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. And you need a healthy body to be able to do that. It's a fallacy. It's religion that somehow God would tell us to go, but then put us in the bed sick. It's not his will, and it doesn't line up with anything in the Word. Everywhere you see Jesus go, he healed. He never put somebody... Notice, you know, he didn't come to Peter's mother-in-law and say, oh, well, you're sick, good, that's what I wanted, walk out. Some, you know, he came, whenever he came on the situation, people got healed, people got well. The Bible says he went around teaching and preaching and healing. That's what he did. Just go look it up, how many times it says how he was preaching. He was teaching. If the people needed to be taught before they would receive the healing, he would teach them. But he'd get faith into them, and they would come to him. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she's going after him because she had heard about Jesus. And she was following him, and she was saying, "If all I got to do is touch his clothes, and I'll be healed." And when she touched him, what happened? Remember the story? What happened? Power went out from him and went into her, and she was healed. Boom. Mm-hmm. Just like that. But there is no... God is not... He's not playing favorites. Healing doesn't just belong to a select few. Thank God. Thank God it doesn't just belong to a few people. God doesn't favor some and not others. Do you believe that? Because the devil's subtle. He tries to get you to think, well, God, it's just not my time. Well, that would be kind of like favoring. But go listen to that message last week. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. That it is God's will all the time. It's his will now. Always now. Always. Always it's now. If you think you have to wait, we're deceived. We've bought a lie. I said a little bit of this last week, but think about it. Think about somebody 100 years ago, same age as you are right now, and they're thinking they have to wait 5 years or 10 years. Somehow they're just thinking it's not quite God's will for them to be healed. Well, they wait 5 years, and let's say that was 100 years ago. That was 95 years ago, God was willing.
He's been willing your whole life, my whole life, whether we know it or not. Which is, he's always in, right now, he's willing. Right now. In other words, what happened with Lazarus? What happened with Peter's mother-in-law? What happened with that crowd? What happened with the leper? God is just as willing right now to do all those same things as he was then. He hasn't changed. The Bible said he doesn't change. He's always the same. There's no shadow of turning with him. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It has always been God's will. There's healing in the Old Testament. The Bible said when they came out of Egypt, there was no feeble among them. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that he heals all your diseases. The Bible says in Exodus 23, it's 25, he will bless your bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of you. See, he's willing. He's always been willing. And the power is always present. Do you realize the power is present to heal right now?
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
See, we're not waiting. We sometimes think we're waiting on God. The enemy's subtle. He tries to keep us waiting. If he can get you in the waiting mode, he'll keep you waiting your whole life. And you think you're waiting on God, and we're not waiting on God.
Yeah, no.
It's just our mentality change to say, wait a minute, God's the same. Wait a minute, his power is always the same. Wait a minute, he loves me just like he loves everybody. Wait a minute, he bore my sickness. He took my infirmity. Mm-hmm. I don't have to wait. And that's when we go into that mode of now. Now, don't get caught up on, well, I have to see an instantaneous. See, that's where people mess up. They go, okay, I got you. All right, I'm in. All right. I'm going to receive it. And then they check their symptoms and go, I guess I didn't get it. That's not the way you receive. See, what did you just do? You believed you received something, then you looked at something in the natural and said, well, I guess nothing happened. You're looking at the natural to determine something that happened supernatural. You say, by his word, I'm healed, and then you go on and just stay there. And the power is working on you.
Yes.
See, we're talking about the power of God. You walk away saying, oh, the power is working in me. It's working. The power of God's working in me. The same way, that same power that could make it happen instantaneous, it's still working. Just like we talked about the example earlier, just because something takes a week doesn't mean there's power not working that whole time. If we'll just keep the switch of faith turned on, that means the power's flowing, that means it's working in our body. You just keep thanking God,
yes.
You'll see it in the natural. It'll work.
Yes, thank you.
Aren't you glad? I mean, if you've ever taken medicine in the natural, it usually comes with some directions. And if you read it, sometimes it'll tell you how fast things work. Like, you know, expect to see this working in an hour, 2 hours. You'll start to see this, whatever. You know, if you've ever taken, like, you know, something that makes you sleep, like Benadryl or something, well, after a little bit, you'll start feeling it. Or if you've ever taken a pain pill, like if you ever had wisdom teeth out or whatever like that, well, after a little bit, it starts working. Certain things, they start working. Well, if you were to say, oh, I took it, what? Nothing's changed. You wouldn't, I mean, a lot of, if you did that and the doctor said, yeah, it'll show up. It'll happen in an hour. It's working. Your body's breaking it down. It's going to start getting it into your bloodstream and you're going to see the results of it. But if you were to say, well, I need to take another pill. No, that's not the solution. You don't want to pop another pill at that point, right? That's going to be actually harmful. But people with spiritual things that go, well, it's not working. Well, how do you know it's not working? What are you using to determine? Well, my body, that's not the way you believed it in the first place. If we understand that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us and that power is working, then if you just stay there and say, no, the power is working, it's working, it's working, it's working, that's faith. The power is activated by faith. Everything, the power of God is manifest in this realm by faith. Same way as you're born again. Why? How is that? By believing. Nothing will happen until you believe. Somebody, unless they act on the knowledge that Jesus died for them, they won't be saved. But the minute they act and they reach out in faith, something happens and their spirit is born again and changed. Why is that? How does that happen? By faith. It's the exact same way. You believe. God's word is working. It's working for me. He's willing. His power is available. He is no respecter of persons. The Bible doesn't say himself took Peter's mother-in-law infirmities and bore her sicknesses. It said that he healed took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. The Bible says here in verse 18 that he healed all who were sick. All of them. So if we'll believe that his power is available, that it's available to us, that he is willing and act on it and refuse to move from that, then that will be manifest in our life. The same way we just read in the Bible, in the book of Matthew. That's real. And Jesus has not changed. God has not changed. Amen.